Uploading. Toonami Black Hole Megamix 2K3, now.
The fate of the whole world is in my hands.
You foolish man. I am a Jito Ryo master. Allow me to reunite you with your ancestor.
Never, never die.
It may concern. This is my retrospective in a letter written from a true anime fan's perspective. Television's not the same without Toonami's presence, so that'll be the subject of my subsequent suggestions. Vividly remember afternoons after school, chilling in my living room watching Toonami cartoons. Seen every moment from Raccoon rhyming with Doom, the Trey's doing battle in that Tall Geese too. From Gundam Wing to Dragon Ball, I had an Ash Ketchum fan mentality. Had to catch them all in a room full of Mobile Suit posters on the wall. Even had a few anime action figures standing tall on my dresser. And no pressure, but I know you got my hashtag Bring Toonami Back Twitter message. I still remember my time spent after school lessons. I was watching Gundam Wing, jamming White Reflection. Yeah, yo, I hope you really hear me. Bring back Toonami for real, not April Fool's yearly. Till then, I'ma kick flows about how I miss shows like Batman, the animated series. And you can make a new season of The Big Go. I know Toonami has an option for some episodes. And if I get big, I swear I'll rock a show for free. If you bring back Yu Yu Hakusho to TV and bring back Full Metal Alchemist, doesn't take calculus or rocket science to determine that the anime market is not dying. Give us what we ask and that profit will grow giant. We missed time, not version 4, but the previous.
Hey there, my Toonami generation, and welcome to a very special podcast here on the Absolution Network and of Tom's Prerogative. I'm, of course, your Primetime host, Thomas Primetime Mattis. And for this very special episode, we are starting our celebration of Toonami coming back. And I will be doing a yes, 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 Daniel Bryant joke right now. I'm kind of under the weather, so I'm going to hold off on that, especially considering I'll be doing that in a few minutes when you listen to what this episode is. So, speaking of that, you know, as many of us know, Toonami is coming back, and one of the things that's making its way around the web and has even been a bumper on Adult Swim has been a rap about Toonami by a nerdcore rapper named Richie Branson. Called Bring Toonami Back. It's been making its way around the web, and people have been just loving this, and you know, he's been getting a lot of press, and so I sent away an email and asked, and you know, I got a chance to interview him. And so here today we have an interview with nerdcore rapper Richie Branson. It was a great interview. We talk about, you know, his music style. And, you know, we talk about Toonami and just, you know, what we expect from it. So it's a very good interview. I hope you enjoy it. And here it is. Hey there, my Toonami generation, and welcome to a very special episode of Tom's Prerogative and the Absolution Network. Toonami's back. Yes! 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 Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm having my wrestling fandom interfere with my anime fandom. Go Daniel Bryant. but with that out of the way, with Toonami bringing back, there's actually also been a really great rap song that's been making the way around the web and everything. It's really been sort of the star child of Toonami coming back, and that is Richie Branson's Bring Toonami Back. And as a gift for you fans, because I care about you so much, I have Richie Branson on the line, and you know, we're gonna talk with him. So, Richie, how are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, I just I'm not the CEO of Virgin Airlines. You know, I just happen to be a rapper named Richie Branson. so sorry, I won't be able to tell you about the next spaceship airline trip or how much it's gonna cost to buy a private island, but I can't tell you about rap and anime, so hey, I'm here.
Yeah, you can't tell us about setting an island on fire or about doing crappy commercials.
Yeah, none of that. I can't tell you about living that kind of life, but I can tell you about living the life of an anime fan, and maybe even the life of a rapper.
Well, you know, listening to your tunes and your beats, you know, you might be on your way towards that. I can say that for sure, because I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm somebody from the hood. I'm not one of those, you know, I'm from the hood and I know how to talk. But I did grow up listening to rap, and, you know, your style definitely brings me back. And there's a lot of sort of nerdcore rappers, like our good friend B-Hyphen, that, you know, sort of remind me sort of the old school sort of mid-90s hip-hop, which I'm glad is somewhat coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll be honest, I can't understand a word Lil Wayne says.
Oh, man. I mean, nowadays, you know, it's unfortunate, but a lot of hip-hop it's evolved away from its roots of, you know, being the type of music that we would make that would relate to common people. Yeah. I don't want to, I mean, now it's cool. Now, don't get me wrong. I do jam some of this hip hop, you know, nowadays. Definitely riding, you know, because it's cool, you know, it's cool or whatever, you know, I like it. But me personally, I can't make music, you know, I don't want to make music that people like me can't relate to. You know, why am I going to make songs about having a Bugatti when my audience doesn't have that? Why am I going to teach them to want those things when they may not be able to get them? You know, it's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just want to make music about stuff that happens in real life, you know?
Well, we're sort of getting into it, but, you know, Richie, why don't you let the people know who you are, how you got to be who you are and everything?
My government name is Marcus Brown. I've been rapping for about a year and a half now. Started about a year and a half ago, you know, under the pretense of just a lot of people that told me I couldn't do it. You know, I've been a producer for longer. I've produced for a few different clients. I actually just produced a theme song for an upcoming reality show coming to Bravo TV Network. So I've been doing some industry production work, you know, making beats, mixing and mastering for about 4 years plus now. That's probably where I've been most successful in my music career so far, has been production. And, you know, most producers don't really go into rap. You know, it seems to be a curse for producers. You know, 90% of producers who try to rap just aren't good at it. So I just tried to defy that and say, you know what? You know, producers can rap, you know, so let me go ahead and rap. I actually landed a single deal last year with the label that's owned by an executive up at Universal Republic. That happens to be the same label that Drake and Lil Wayne are signed to. But one of the executives up there, he has an imprint label, and he actually believed in what I was doing at the time. And, you know, he signed me to a little situation up there. So I've had some success as an artist as well. But, you know, after being in there, you know, being in the mainstream industry for a while, you know, I toured with DMX for a few cities, and it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool, but, you know, I just didn't feel like I was making the type of music I wanted to make. So, this January that just passed, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go completely left field and start rapping about stuff that I like, which, you know, I'm a gamer, big gamer, anime, so that's the stuff I rap about now, man. And I tell you what, you know, even though the money is what it would be doing mainstream music, I wouldn't trade this type of music I'm making right now for anything, because the fans love it. You know, I have a loyal following of people that really genuinely like my music, and I'll take that any day over, you know, millions of dollars making, you know, regular music, just the same crap that gets played on the radio. So, hey, that's
absolutely, absolutely. So, what influenced your you into becoming a hip hop artist?
I guess the main influence that I have going into hip-hop, I was in high school my senior year. To be honest with you, before my senior year in high school, I never really was big on music, period. I was a band nerd. I played alto saxophone.
I was bass drum.
Yeah. I eventually got into composing piano music. I learned how to play the piano, and I actually composed about three pieces of pretty decent classical influenced piano music. And I say that because, you know, I've gotten feedback from like 1% of the people out there that say, well, you're not a real musician. You just rap and make beats. So I always tell them that, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover. Like, I'm a trained musician, you know, but hip hop just happens to be the style of music I make. But that's a whole other subject. But yeah, my senior year, I got around some people who like breakdance and freestyle rap, and I just happened to be the guy beating on the table with the pen in my hand, you know, making the beat that they dance to, and kind of just went from there.
I think as you get older in life, you actually appreciate music much, much more. I can tell you some funny podcasting stories to where I'll bring people on to do a podcast with me, and I'm like, so let's talk about music of the series, and like, we were supposed to focus on music. So what do you overall consider your musical style, and what influenced that music style?
I kind of consider mine, it's definitely not mainstream, of course. I do talk about a lot of subjects that nerds can relate to, obviously, because I'm a nerd. But I don't mind embracing the nerdcore label or brand or stigma or what have you, because that's what it is. If people call it nerdcore, then damn it, that's what I'm making. But I like to look at my music. Where I'm trying to go with it is I want to bring nerdcore music to the mainstream. Like, I'm, you know, this is a big genre. We have a lot of people that like this music. I want to have this actually be the type of music that you might turn on the radio and hear a nerdcore song. That would be crazy.
Well, you know, the thing about it, I think, is, you know, there are definitely songs where me as a nerd or geek or whatever you want to call it, I really don't use that term. I'm a person that's into certain stuff that's, I guess, considered that.
Definitely.
But it is a thing to where people like us, yeah, we get it because we love the wordplay and we'll listen to the words and like, oh, he's referencing that and that. And, you know, we always love talking about references, you know, especially when you're talking about fan service and stuff like that. And yet it's also something that's accessible to the mainstream, I think, because it is just good music at the end of the day. Great beats, especially, I mean, anytime you're using music from Gundam Wing, it's good music.
Yeah, definitely, man. That was definitely the, I think, my best project that I've put together so far. That Gundam, that's always going to be a near and dear subject to my heart, man.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. So next question is, of course, you're here because you wrote and performed and put on the internet, Bring Back Toonami, which went around the web because, hey, I can speak today. Live podcasting is awesome, folks. went around the web, and of course now Toonami's being brought back, and of course it was part of a bumper on Adult Swim, which was awesome.
Yeah, man, that was quite, I was very excited for that, man.
So, how did you first discover Toonami?
Well, Toonami is something I discovered, just one day I came home after school, turned on the TV, and saw Dragon Ball Z. And I think it was somewhere midway into the Frieza saga, if I'm not mistaken. I think right after Vegeta had got defeated by Goku, and somewhere in that transitional into the main Frieza saga. And it was like just cool, like the style of it. You know, I'd never seen that type. I mean, I've heard of anime prior, like Speed Racer and Voltron. That always had been my mental, you know, picture of anime with Speed Racer and all that, but this stuff was actually cool. I was like, man, and the style and the fast-paced action just really appealed to me, so I was hooked ever since.
So you were in the era of Dragon Ball Z, Sailor Moon.
Oh, yes.
Were you watching Sailor Moon?
Yeah, as a dude, you know, I know a lot of dudes seek, you know, they never publicly will admit that they were Sailor Moon. I did watch Sailor Moon, man. I
watched Sailor Moon. I did like for the romantic relationship, but it's always that funny thing to where people don't know that, you know, Sailor Moon, while it was written by a woman, the art was done by her husband. And I just have this mental picture of, you know, because she talks about how apparently Sailor Moon gets sexualized all the time, and then this mental picture of her husband's, you know, standing behind her going, why do you think I put the shorts, the skirt so short?
Yeah.
But that was definitely a good era right before Gundam Wing. We were talking earlier about Gundam Wing's your favorite. Was Gundam Wing showing at the time?
At the time I first encountered Toonami, no, it wasn't showing. I think it was not too long afterwards where they started showing Gundam. I think when they had that Toonami in Space thing going on. And that was, man, when I got introduced to Gundam, that forever changed my life, man. Like, I was absolutely hooked onto Gundam Wing.
Which was your favorite suit? Because I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
My favorite suit, to be honest, like a lot of people are your typical Epion or Wing Zero. I was actually a big Tall Geese guy. Like, Tall Geese, all three iterations of Tall Geese are my favorite mobile suits. I don't know what it is about Tall Geese, man, but that was the shit.
I hear different than you, because I'm personally a Wing Zero. I just love the more the Endless Waltz version of Wing Zero, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the Wing Zero custom was incredibly crazy. The wings and stuff. Yeah, I got to feel, if it wasn't for Togi's, Wing Zero would probably be my first choice.
Definitely, as you watch the mobile suits progress in that show, they just got better and more awesome, you know, whether it be Wing Zero or Heavy Arms custom, and it had the four gun barrels.
Oh, yeah, that was wild, too. Yeah, and that's what I liked about Gundam Wing, was just the mobile suits would evolve, you know, and they'd get customized and get extra. Like, Death Scythe Hell was pretty dope, too. Like, I liked Death Scythe Hell. And, you know, it had a really deep theme. Like, I think Gundam made me smarter, you know?
Yeah. So, how did Toonami influence your musical style?
I think because when I first, you know, got into the whole nerdy rap thing, I knew, you know, the first mixtape I dropped was about Star Wars The Old Republic. That's always going to be, like, that just happened to be what I was playing at the time, and I was really into it, so I was like, screw it, I'm going to make a mixtape about it. But after that, I was like, it was immediate. Like, as soon as I dropped The Cold Republic, I knew I was going to make a Gundam mixtape. And, you know, my anime fandom, you know, was something, you know, that really just, I knew I was going to be rapping about a lot of different anime. Of course, I started the Otaku Tuesdays music series, where I drop a new anime rap every week on a Tuesday, you know, and it's just, you know, I have a deep fandom for anime, and I've been checking out new anime, and it's like, you know, I love it. You know, I love rapping about it. You know, it's cool.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, we talked about Gundam Wing already, but what were your other favorite shows on Toonami?
I like Yu Yu Hakusho a lot. You know, that was like, Yu Yu Hakusho is like a really, really, really dope version of Scooby-Doo. You know, it's like, yeah.
I've never heard it put that way before.
Yeah, like, you know, there's something that, there's a case that you got to solve, and you got to go through and solve it. Like, it really was like, just a cool series to watch, you know, Yu Yu Hakusho. Big O was incredible, too. I like the whole film noir aspect they had to it. Dragon Ball, of course, was something. That was something that kept me on the edge of my seat, you know, especially through the Frieza and the Buu sagas. I was just, man, what's going to happen next? When's Vegeta going to become a Super Saiyan? Okay, what's this new thing? Is this Ascended Saiyan? You know, it was really cool. What else? It was a lot of different shows. I also was a big Voltron fan. Like, I love Voltron. A lot of people look at me in shock when I say that's one of my favorite mecha anime, but yeah, Voltron was really cool.
I don't see how you can be a mecha fan and not like Voltron.
True. Some people will say, well, what about, you know, they'll name some other ones like Evangelion and a few other ones, but I'm like, no, Voltron is up there to me.
I mean, when you look at, especially considering when you look at Go Lion, how it influenced the whole Super Sentai.
Oh, yeah. I love Super Sentai. Even, like, the live action, like, I'm a big Super Sentai fan. I like how, like, the Ginyu Force was, like, almost like a parody of that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, Super Sentai and Power Rangers.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'd watched this movie recently. Dang, I can't remember it. It's by the same people who did Tokyo Gore Police, but it was Machine Gun, where she had the machine gun on her leg or something.
Machine Gun Girl.
Yeah, Machine Gun Girl. Yeah, mm-hmm. And they had the Super Mortar Squad towards the end. That was like a big Super Sentai lampoon. that shit was funny.
I saw a movie they did called Vampire Girl versus Frankenstein Girl. Oh my god. I was laughing so hard, and at the same time saying in my mind, I'm going to hell for this. I don't know if you've seen it, but...
I've actually heard of it. I just haven't managed to take a look at it yet. But I know it's by the same production house that did the other ones.
Yeah, same production house. They do this... there's a group in there that represents sort of the Japanese people that want to be black.
Oh, yeah.
It is... that's the part I knew I was going to be like, this is so offensive, but I can't stop laughing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But did you get to watch Gokaigers?
That actually I didn't get to check out.
But you've heard about all of the guest stars and how that show went.
Yeah, I've actually heard a little bit about it, like all the guest stars and whatnot, like what you were saying.
The very first movie, they have every Megazord from the past 35 seasons show up to defeat the monster.
What?
I want to see how they're going to do this.
That is hilarious.
In America.
That's funny, man. Yeah, that would be interesting to see, because all those... Because I recently it came up on the... it's like a YouTube video that, like, put together all the morphing sequences from every one of those, you know... every single one of those particular series of shows. And it's funny to look at, because you see the old school 70s ones and, you know, cheesy special effects. And then you get into, you know, the Power Rangers era with the dinosaurs. And it's amazing, man, to watch.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So with that being said, how did Toonami influence what you like as an anime fan?
Well, I mean, Toonami definitely is the reason that I am a hugely Gundam-biased anime fan and mecha anime in general. Like, I'm a big mecha fan. I recently managed to watch through all of the, and which actually is probably up there on my list of favorite anime, surprisingly now, is the Gurren Lagann series, man. And I'd seen it before, you know, it was on the anime block on Sci-Fi a while back. You know, but it was early in the series, and it wasn't really just, I guess, you know, it didn't appeal to me at the time, but when I sat through and got past, like, the first 10 episodes, man, that thing really, really took off. Like, it surprised me. Like, Gurren Lagann was really crazy.
So, in other words, are you saying that the story of of Gurren Lagann didn't really appeal to you, but just the mech fights did?
Well, the story was actually really good. It was just the first few episodes in, it was a really slow start. Like, I was like, okay, what's going on? You know, and of course, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but there's some pretty big plot twists that happen, and it's amazing. Like, I remember, like, halfway through the series, you think, okay, they did it, they won, and next thing you know, like, next thing, it's a whole different environment, and you're like, wow. Like, I was amazed. The story is incredible. The mech action is pretty good, too, although I like Gundam's mech action a little better, particularly Gundam Wing and, G Gundam. That's another one that had some pretty good mech action. But I think what Gurren Lagann had that even Gundam didn't really have and that I particularly like were, like, the finishing moves and stuff like that. Hilarious and also inspiring at the same time.
I'll leave it at that. I'm pretty infamous for my even though it's a strong word, I'll say it anyways, my hate of Gurren Lagann.
Really? It's cool.
You know what? It's got great art. The mech designs are creative and inventive and imaginative. The character designs are wonderful. The art style is beautiful. The music is incredible. At the end of the day, I feel the story is weak. I really do feel the story is weak. I think it's all over the place. If you really watch Gurren Lagann, I think start to finish, you'll see they're telling the story one way from episode 1 to 6. From 6 to 23, another way, and then they just go completely off cuff, you know, from 23 to the end. And I understand some fans like that. It's...
Now, I'll agree on, like, later in the series, it was like the story sort of diminished for me later in the series. I think I was more impressed by the environment on the latter half of the series, you know, when the whole anti-spirals and all that. Like, I didn't really understand, like, to me, I agree with you on that. Like, the whole anti-spiral thing was a little weak. I think they could have strengthened that a lot compared to the first part of the story with the Spiral King. Like, that to me was cool. Like, that, you know, they had the adversary well developed. You understood what was happening. But the anti-spiral stuff, I didn't really, they didn't really go as in-depth as they probably should have to me on that, you know.
Well, for me, you know, it, one of the things that made Gundam Wing so great was the character development and the character interaction.
Oh, yeah.
And really my big thing with Gurren Lagann is I don't understand why anybody was following Simone. He never really appealed to me. He feel like he didn't do anything. More importantly, being a helpless romantic, I have no idea why anybody liked Nia. She didn't do a damn thing in the series.
Yeah.
Besides, cook bad. That's it.
Yeah, she did cook terribly, man.
But, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to influence anybody's thoughts here. It's I still have to redo that review, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I reviewed that when I was doing video reviews, and I did a pretty much an hour review of Gurren Lagann.
Oh, wow.
I still can't believe I did that.
Man, so you really opinionated on that.
Oh, yeah, I am. So, of course, we're going off, you know, Toonami here, and that's a good segue into what the next question is what is your favorite anime and video games, for that matter, outside of Toonami, outside of stuff that's, like, appeared on Toonami?
Okay, as far as anime goes, Gurren Lagann is pretty up there, man. I can't even lie. They really... I just like it. The art style, like you were saying, was incredible. You know, it was pretty cool. But I think one of my recent favorites outside of Toonami that I've seen has been Gundam Unicorn. Gundam Unicorn, that series is awesome. That actually is damn near so close to overtaking Gundam Wing to me as the favorite. Only because, like, I never really was big on Universal Century, to be honest with you. Like some, like, Stardust Memory was dope. I sat through all that. Stardust Memory is another one of mine. Pretty much most of my animes outside of cartoon that are going to be, or outside of Toonami that are my favorite, are most likely going to be Gundam related. Gundam 00 or 00 is also pretty cool. I haven't quite finished that yet. I've gotten all the way through where the second, I guess, half of the Celestial Beings show up. Like, it's a pretty cool series, though. It reminisces...
The ending is spectacular.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
I have to sit through it some more.
What? So, have you started the second season, the second 26 yet?
I think I've just gotten up through... I'm trying to think what episode I'm on. I may be at, like, this... nearing the end of the first 26, if I'm not mistaken. I have to double check. But I know the episode that I finished recently was one where, I guess, you know, you had the first set of Celestial Beings and they were about to get their asses kicked, and then, like, some new Gundams show up out of nowhere. It's like, oh,
yeah.
You got it.
Oh, I know. Yeah, there's some deep stuff that's going to happen at the end of season one. But it ends spectacularly. Season two is spectacular. Well, you see what the special technique that Gundam 00 gets when he gets upgraded in season two. It will blow your mind, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I have a good respect for the Universal Century series after watching Stardust Memory. I ended up going back and watching some... I tried to watch some of the original, and I got a little bit, you know, with the Amuro Ray stuff at the beginning, very beginning, Mobile Suit Gundam. But what really got me just hooked on the Universal Century and pretty much that whole universe was Gundam Unicorn. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of the... outside of Gundam Wing, which had an incredibly badass main protagonist in Hiro Yui, you know, most of the other Gundam series have some whiny kid that accidentally discovered a massive killing machine in the form of a mobile suit. And they end up having to sort of mature into this soldier who doesn't want to fight but has to fight, basically, you know?
Yeah.
And so even though that was the case in Gundam Unicorn, which I don't particularly care for those type of characters, But what really got me in the Gundam uniform was the badass supervillain, man. Or not supervillain, but, you know, the antagonist in Full Frontal. I think outside of the name, which is sort of weird to me, you know, given it's, you know, what we usually think of when we think of Full Frontal. But the dude's a badass, man, and his mobile suit's really badass. I actually have a model kit for that one, because
I still actually have to get into Unicorn. I haven't got a chance to sit down and watch any of it. But
Unicorn is great, man. The soundtrack is really awesome, man. It sounds like if Hans Zimmer had a long-lost cousin in Japan, whoever composed that sound.
I think his name is Noboru Uematsu.
He did a great job on that soundtrack, man. Excellent job. Like, the music is incredible. Very incredible.
Yeah. And then, of course, the other part of that is video games. I think we can probably guess fighting games and RPGs would be on that list.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm a huge Street Fighter fan. I am notorious for going to parties where they have fighting games and just wiping the table. I went to this get-together not too long ago, and they had Mortal Kombat. And, I mean, I sat there and just demolished everybody. But, yeah, I'm a big fighting game fan. Among my favorites are the Street Fighter series. I'm also a big Tekken guy. Soul Calibur is pretty dope. As far as, like, RPGs, anything Squaresoft released on the Super Nintendo, automatic favorite. Final Fantasy. They have released some pretty decent stuff as of late. I actually did a song that was like a letter addressed to Squaresoft telling...
I heard that one. That was pretty good, too.
Now, that one was a little more artistic, I'd say, in the lyricism. A lot of people took what I said literally, and I didn't mean for it to be like that. Like, I was like, you know, I said something like, make a game about Game of Thrones, and some people were like, why would anybody do that? And I'm like, chill, it's meant to be absurd. And illustrate a fan's desperation to see them do anything different than what they're doing now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the people who got it understood, like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I got it. Yeah.
I don't think a soundtrack co-produced by Coldplay is a good idea for any Squaresoft RPG. You know, it's a desperate suggestion, just trying to see them switch it up, man.
Well, 13's soundtrack was pretty awesome, especially the battle theme.
Yeah, 13 was pretty cool. You know, I really want to see, I can't wait for Versus 13. I think that's going to be what brings the old Squaresoft, the Square.
If that ever comes out.
The gameplay footage of that is fucking awesome, man.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I'm a Final Fantasy fan myself. Started with Final Fantasy VIII. Pretty much like everything from the PlayStation era. The PlayStation 1 era, like 10, thought they sold out on 12, and I think they've done a good job of trying to get the fans back with 13.
Yeah, 13, too, I heard, is pretty good. It's just...
Oh, yes, it is.
you know, like, you know, I want the most 40-hour epic, you know, take-me-through-three-discs type games, you know?
Oh, God, that brings me back having to change this.
Yeah, but you know it's cool. Squaresoft RPGs are always among my favorite. Although I have been hooked on what Bethesda. I always flubble on the pronunciation of Bethesda or however you call them. You know, the Fallout and the Skyrim, like that open world RPG. I really like how the West has been. They've been stepping it up. You know, between BioWare and Bethesda. They've really been making some good RPGs out here in the West, man. So
it's stepping up. My issue is stop calling it American and Japanese RPGs.
Just mold it all into one, right?
Well, no, not even that. But it also be proper about it. It's like Fallout and Mass Effect. They're first person shooter RPGs. That's what they are.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
There, I mean, you're basically playing a first person shooter game. You just level up and you customize your character.
Yeah, man.
To an extent, it's the same thing what Oblivion is, except that it's with swords and hand-to-hand combat.
Versus melee, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but with that being said, what are you as a fan looking for with the new Toonami to premiere next weekend?
Well, you know, hopefully, you know, we get to hear some Richie Branson music somewhere on That's cool, you know.
That would be a plus.
Richie Branson fan, man. That guy's awesome. Nah, but seriously, I just really want them to, you know, mix it up. I do want some nostalgia, but I know that nostalgia isn't going to keep Toonami on the air, you know. Have some new anime, you know, maybe some new original content, and kind of mix it. You know, I don't expect them to bring back all the old shows that all anime fans have seen before, and their mothers and their grandmothers, etc. But I do want, you know, that same swagger that the original Toonami had. You know, what made Toonami great wasn't necessarily that it showed anime. That was a big part of it, but it was a swagger about it, you know. It was
a swagger, and it was the good shows.
Yeah, good shows and good swagger. You know, Tom was awesome. You know, I don't want Tom 4. Sorry, Tom 4. That old school Tom 3, you know, Tom 2 when he was cool, you know. You know, I think they're going to do a great job, man. You know, I can tell just by the hashtag, Toonami's back, bitches, like that. And they're going to...
Well, you know Steve Bloom's going to do a good job voicing Tom.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited about that, man. Steve is awesome. You know, he's definitely the primary force behind the reason Toonami came back. You know,
Absolutely. I personally would love to see him maybe do some new... Go away from, like, shonen stuff, like Bleach and that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Bring in something different. There's actually a title called... The English title is bad. I like the Japanese title better. But the English title from Funimation is Cat Planet Beauties.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard about this title or seen this title. It's actually on Crunchyroll. I can't pronounce the Japanese name. It's Abasoloi Bombshells. But basically, it's a science fiction title. It has, like, science fiction and, like, sort of nerd references all over the place.
Oh, yeah?
By episode 3, they start out each episode by basically doing a parody of sort of the Star Trek intro narration. Like, this is the voyage of so-and-so on a journey to adventure to the stars.
Yeah.
It's got mechs. It's got beautiful big-breasted women.
You can't go wrong with that, man. But yeah, I mean, that's really a lot of all I want to see is just, like I said, the nostalgia mixed in with a little bit of new stuff. I know, you know, they had an option for, like, a third season of Big O, you know,
Yeah. Years
on that, too.
That'd be interesting if that's what their surprise is about a new anime project, because they've been hinting at that.
Yeah, that would be great. And, you know, we can only hope.
So, final question, what do you think, as a fan yourself, but also somebody who sort of worked in sort of a... industry sort of format, what do you think the anime industry needs to do to return to sort of the prominence it really last held pre-2004?
Well, I think that what we need to do, you know, in order to bring anime back to that prominence, you know, Toonami is going to be a big vital key to that. I also think, you know, a lot of, you know, bringing more animes over, you know. The thing is, I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, especially a lot of the anime purists are, you know, more of the sub-only type, you know. Sub, you know, don't dub. But I think the only way we'll get it to that prominence is if we bring some of this, you know, some anime, you know, over here dub. You know, good, hopefully, you know, hopefully we can get some good anime. I think the best dubs I've seen have been Cowboy Bebop and Gundam Wing. Those had some pretty good dubs, you know. But if we can get some more anime over here, get it dubbed, you know, good, great, you know, I think that'll help as well. You know, if we can get some new shows over here and just really try to get fans back on board. You know, that's really what I want to see is anime get back to that prominence that it had when Toonami was on the air. Because now, you know, when you talk anime, you know, it's back to being an obscure fanboy obsession, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you got to stream it, and you really have to be, you know, more dedicated in seeing it than you used to. But if we have that mainstream, mainstream industry pushing it, you know, I think we'll win. You know, I think if... it doesn't just have to be Toonami. It could also be other, you know, like bring back the or really enhance the anime block on Sci-Fi, you know, and really sort of bring it to more than just Toonami. Toonami is just the first step, I think, in really making anime a bigger deal in America than it used to be.
Absolutely. Well, Richie, thank you for coming on. I'm going to give you the floor. I'm going to let you, as we call it in the podcasting world, pimp your site and pimp everything that's on the web. So why don't you let people know where they can find you?
All right. Well, yeah, you can go to richiebranson.com. That's the primary place to go to get knowledge about what I've got going on next. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Twitter at Richie Branson. I also have a Richie Branson Facebook page. Hopefully, I'll be like the real Richard Branson, and I'll have Richie Branson Planes, a Richie Branson Resort that you guys can go to and chill and watch anime and go swimming. But you know, in order to get to there, obviously we have to work one day at a time. You know, but I will be going on tour with MC Chris later this summer, from July out to mid-August. So definitely, if you're in one of the cities on that tour, come check me out. You know. Because I'm really nervous about that, you know, but that's just me. Nervous in a good way, because I'm anxious to get out there and rock these shows for the crowds. You know, I just hope they love me. And I will be putting out an album pretty soon that you guys will be able to purchase. I've been releasing a lot of free music, you know, and hopefully the fans will support me and get me on my way on this tour, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Guys, go out when he drops it. Get the music, get it on iTunes. You know, at Richard Branson, he has a couple of mixtapes you can download for free. He has a Jersey Shore fist pump that you can get on iTunes for 99 cents. Buy it. You know, support Richie. It's important that we, you know, we protect and we support our own. So, with that being said, thank you, my Tsunami Generation, for, you know, this special interview. I hope you enjoyed it. Until next time, stay golden. And welcome back. And I'm hoping that you enjoyed that interview. I know I did. You know, Richie was, you know, very gracious to come on to the show. And, you know, really, really cool guy. Really fun guy. To, you know, I definitely hope to maybe have him on future podcasts here on the Absolution Network. So that's it, though, for this very special episode of the Absolution Network and Tom's Prerogative. Remember, there are several ways. If you have any comments you want to leave or anything like that to reach our show, you can first, by email, reach the Absolution Network and Tom's Prerogative by emailing to absolution132@yahoo.com. That's absolution, and then the numerals, 132@yahoo.com. So, absolution132@yahoo.com. And of course, you can always leave a comment on Facebook by liking our Facebook page, which you can find at or by typing Absolution Network on Facebook. So, search us out on Facebook at Absolution Network. And of course, you can leave a comment on the site, which you might already be at, which you can find at www.an.132productions.com. And of course, remember to check out all of my other stuff that I put out for 132 Productions. The Tokyo SOS podcast, a Godzilla podcast, which reviews every Godzilla movie ever made. You can find that at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And of course, you know, my Comic Book Crazy podcasting network site, which features Comic Book Crazy, Hexcast, The Comic Book Pitch, just to name a few. You can find that at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. And, of course, on all of those sites is our friends, highly suggest you check them out. They do good stuff on comic books and tons of stuff. You know, Michael Bailey's Views from the Long Box and From Crisis to Crisis that he does with his good friend Jeffrey Taylor. Brad Douglas's Spider-Man Crawl Space. Steven Sector's Major Spoilers Podcast. And, of course, Scott Gardner's Two Freaks! And all our other friends on the side of the site. All those sites, check them out. And that is it for this very special episode on the Absolution Network. Until next time, my Tsunami Generation,
stay golden.
I'm feeling like my last name Huey, first name Hero. Gundam on my mind as I write this on my Evo. Destroying all these other rappers in my wing zero. I kill them with my beam rifle, never have to reload. Richie on a mission, destroy the competition by any means necessary with deadly precision. I'm done playing with y'all, turn on my zero system and commit to killing everything moving in my position. Hip hopping, it don't stop. Richie dropping dope rhymes like a Nas Colony drop. I'm chilling in my sand rock, taking shots of Ciroc. We got the hottest mobile suits taking over your block. We got Def Sife, Heavy on Sand Rock, Shinlong, Wing Zero, Toggies, and don't forget that Evian. These other rappers imitating like some mobile dolls. Eliminate them all, that's my mission. I'm brother, in the anime, but I ain't even frightened. Thinking of the days when I used to watch Gundam on my television set, absolute essence. Jamming white reflection as I write my reflections. I'm really in the anime, but I ain't even frightened. Thinking of the days when I used to watch Gundam on my television set, absolute essence. I'm jamming white reflection as I write my reflections. I'm trying to lead the way like I'm Trace Kushranada. And anyone who gets in my way, they get slaughtered. There's only one seat in my Gundam, no riding shotgun as I maneuver.